Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we recognize your presence with us by the blessed Holy Spirit. We come to honor Jesus, our Lord and Savior, today. We thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives. You're the one who died in our place. We honor you, Lord Jesus. What can we say? But hallelujah for the cross. Teach us your word today. Help us to understand the importance of living the gospel in our families and in our relationships. And for that, we're grateful for your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good morning. Good to see all of you, and may the Lord bless you. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us here today, we're honored to have you. If you're in the balcony, I apologize today. We're having some lighting problems. So if you have one of those phones with a flashlight, you're more than welcome. Just take out your flashlight. I've never had to say that before. Take your flashlight out and turn in your Bible. But here we are today. Take your flashlight out and turn in your Bible. We find our place in Genesis chapter number 37, and I'd like for you to find your place there as we continue to think these days about family secrets, family matters. Family secrets, family matters. I am so burdened about these things that we've been talking about this for some time because they have such an impact on our spiritual life. The issues that go on in our families that are unresolved, and when we do not shine the gospel light on issues in our family, it can cause us not to be able to grow in our spiritual life. It halts us. It chokes out the Word of God in our lives. We come to a very important and very significant section of God's Word today. This is the story of an expansion on the story of Joseph's brother's hatred for him, and then Joseph's response of forgiveness to them. Our focal truth is that Joseph's brothers hated him because of Jacob, their father's favorite love for Joseph. So we read together Genesis chapter 37, beginning in verse number 3. Now Israel, that is Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a very colored tunic. That is, it's a full-length robe of multicolors. His brothers saw that his father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. Verse number 11, 37. His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in his mind. That is the dream he had just shared with them. Now keep your place in Genesis 37 and go back now to the end of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 50. Genesis chapter number 50. And find your place there. Genesis 50. And we begin reading in verse number 15. Genesis 50, verse number 15, and you'll keep your place there in 50 and also in 37 for our time. When Joseph's brothers, now they've buried their father. They've had a funeral. All the brothers were there. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him?" So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father charged before he died, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin. For they did you wrong. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of God, your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, 'Behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place?" Then we come to famous words. "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Please notice the contrast in your Bible. Verse number 4 of chapter 37. The brothers saw their father loved him more, and they could not speak on friendly terms to their brother. And then we read chapter 50. Joseph comforted his brothers and spoke kindly to them. Quite a contrast between Joseph's response to the brothers who have done terrible things to him. Quite a different response of what I would call brotherly hatred on full display in his brothers. Did you grow up in a family where there were family favorites? Perhaps you're sitting here today and you were one of the family favorites, always the best one, always the gifted one, always the chosen one. Today, if you have brothers and sisters, are your relationships with your brothers and sisters, or if you just have sisters with your sisters, if you just have brothers with brothers, whatever, are your relationships with your brothers and sisters, I'm talking about your family today, are your relationships with your brothers and sisters on good terms? You're here and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, so how are things in the family? How are things between you and your brothers and sisters? Do you hate your brothers and sisters? Is there something that's happened in your past between you, and perhaps it's caused by what your parents did to all of you, that there is a lingering hatred, and that's the word I'm using, hatred for your brothers and sisters? And today, whether they're alive or not, are you angry with your parents? Are you living today with hatred toward your brothers and sisters and anger toward your parents? You see, this is why we talk about this, because these matters, these family matters, really matter in your relationship with God. You see, if you can't do something about these matters, how can you ever ask God to bless you and walk with God and fill you with His Spirit and use you as a blessing to others? If you're not a blessing to your own family, how can you say to the Lord or sing, "Make me a blessing"? You see, the gospel comes to our homes first. That's where it starts. And the relationships within families is very important. And to the parents who are here today, those of you who are just in the process, you're in the process, your children are preschoolers or perhaps in primary, or they're students, they're still under your guidance directly. Did you know that the way you're parenting, your choices about how you treat all of your children, even if you just have one, have a ripple effect all the way through their life, and they affect you and they affect them? We just read 20 years from chapter 37 to 50. We just read 20 years. You just turned there 20 years. Because we read these words. Number one, Jacob loved Joseph more than all his sons. Verse 3. He loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age, and he made him his own special favored cloak. Favoritism was a family secret in the family of Abraham. How in the world could Jacob not have in his mind all of the poisonous pain that came in their family's life because of what he had experienced. Isaac loved Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob. They had their favorites. You see, Joseph and Benjamin, later born to Rachel, they were special because they were from Rachel. Rachel said, after her barrenness for many years when she gave birth to Joseph, Genesis 30, she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. He had all of these memories, he had all of these things in mind as a result of this boy, Joseph, who was born to him. And this special coat gave Joseph special status among the children. The way you parent, the way you treat all of your children, grandparents, the way you grandparent, and the way you treat your grandchildren. Do you have favorites among your grandchildren? Well, my daughter, they're all so wonderful, but this one, I don't know. Not quite the same. You see, the characteristics of family favoritism are very clear. In fact, I might want to say, here are the characteristics of how to spoil a child. You favor one, mark it down, you're going to spoil that kid. How do you spoil them? Well, how do you show favoritism? Special time for one child more than the other. Special praise for one child while he can't do anything wrong. She can't do anything wrong. The rest of us. Special gifts for one child more than the others. Well, you know, she's been especially good, so this is, you're good, you're okay, but this is for her because she's special. Special attention for one child more than others. Special time, special praise, special gifts, special attention. Proverbs 28:21 says, to show partiality is not good. To show partiality is not good. If you are practicing favoritism with your children and grandchildren, you are putting in play circumstances and intended and unintended consequences that will last a lifetime. I just said it. They buried their dad who showed favoritism to Joseph, and it was left to Joseph, who was greatly mistreated by his brothers, to forgive. Well, Jacob's other sons saw that Joseph was the favorite, and they saw it. Now I'm reading in chapter 37, verse 4. His brothers saw that their father loved him. Look, children see and hear more than their parents think they do or their grandparents think they do. They see whether there is love for all the family. I still remember, you know, as a child at seven, large family, all of our family, my uncles and aunts, my father came from a family of 12, and so there was a lot of chaos, a lot of things that go on. So we would go and be with my uncle, now 7-year-old. I'm telling you, 7-year-old, I'm almost 70 years old. Do the math. So I'm 7 years old, and I'm thinking, well, we used to go down and see Uncle Bill and Betty. They just were down the street. But Dad came in and said, we're not going over there anymore. What happened? Not until I was a grown man that I learned that my father and his brother had come to hate each other. Cut off all of us from seeing all the cousins. We didn't see one another except at funerals. I'm not the only one. I know what I'm talking to, and I know who I'm talking to. His brothers saw. What do your children see, parents, in the way you treat your brothers and sisters, your mother and father, or their grandmother and grandfather? What do they see? But you see, they saw that he loved him more. Children desire love and acceptance, every one of them. We learn it best from perhaps foster children and those who are adopted. They want to be loved and accepted. So do you. Every family must be a place and an environment. If the gospel surely is there, the family is not a place of hostility, hatred, and favoritism. The family is a place of love and acceptance, and you can be the way you are, and we can accept you, and we can help you whatever your condition. This is what we say to our children. But oh my. Had Jacob forgotten the pain of rejection that his own brother felt? You see, children who feel rejected and not loved develop bitterness and hatred and jealousy. Do you not have a blessing for me, even me, my father? Surely those words would have mattered to a brother. You see, Jacob's sons saw his favorite love for Joseph, and Jacob's favorite love for Joseph caused his brothers to hate him. Verse 4, they saw their father loved him, so they hated him, and they could not speak on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. There is nothing more toxic in family life than hatred and jealousy. Hatred and jealousy eat away at the relationships between husbands and wives, and fathers and their children, and mothers and their children, and grandparents and their children. You see, hatred reveals hidden anger towards someone who has hurt you. In family life, when you see it in interesting times. Oh my, we're about to go to family reunion. Well, who's going to be there and who's not? I mean, I come from a family, I got all kinds of aunts and uncles, 12 of them. Well, who's going to come? I'm not going to the family reunion. Okay. I hate Uncle so-and-so. Hatred reveals hidden anger towards someone who has hurt them. These men were deeply hurt and wounded because they felt rejected by their father. This is a man of God. This is a man who trusted God and walked with God, as I've spoken to you about already, who built altars all the way along the way. Truly a man of God. A man who sought to believe the promises of God. But in the midst of it, we read, he loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age. It didn't matter if he was the son of his old age. He loved one child more than the other. Hatred is a bitter, toxic emotion that produces hurtful actions to those who hurt them. And it spreads. You go to church with it. You go to work with it. People feel it and sense it in you. Why are you so angry? And why are you so bitter? Someone here today, your parents may be gone. They may have already died, but you carry today still hatred. Some things in your life trigger emotions about how you were treated as a child. So Joseph's brothers hated him, and they also hated their father. They were jealous. They saw Joseph as the one who, they were jealous of his status as the one they loved. They saw and were jealous of the recognition that he received as the special one. What? He's got this robe. He's 17 years old. And no offense to all the teenagers in here, but you know, you got a lot to learn as a teenager. Quit acting like you know everything. That's from Pastor Mike, just if you want to hear it. You're probably not listening anyway. Joseph's brothers were jealous of his acceptance as the favored son. Listen, the Word of God says this. Now, hatred and jealousy. That's a terrible drink to drink. Hatred and jealousy is a terrible thing to carry in your soul. This is why we get saved. This is why we're born again. Listen, I'm talking to you now. Don't be distracted. Listen, this is important. Appeal to you to listen to me. Proverbs 6 says, jealousy enrages a man. He will not spare in the day of vengeance. If you are driven by jealousy and hatred, it enrages you. But when you get saved, it calms you. When you live by the Spirit, you're at peace. You put aside your rage. You put aside your hatred. You live in peace. Proverbs 27:4 says, wrath is fierce and anger is a flood. Who can stand? It's the question of Proverbs 27. Who can stand before jealousy? Answer, none. And James reminds the church, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and envy. There's disorder and every evil thing. This all came because a parent picked a favorite. This is bad parenting. This is important for us to know as we seek to bring up children in the fear of the Lord. It's more than you instructing them in the Word of God. And I know I thank God for our young parents here who are being very, very careful to instruct their children in the Word of God. But it's not just what you teach, it's how you live in front of your children and your grandchildren that matters. Joseph's brothers hated him and were jealous of him. Finally, now for a moment, chapter 50. Joseph forgave his brothers. Let's read it again. Chapter 50, verse 20. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. That is, this phrase, kindly, in Hebrew is the word, it is a phrase that means he spoke to their heart. He spoke to their heart. He had, as we would say in our language, a heart-to-heart conversation with his brothers. I asked you at the beginning if some of you have strained relationships with your brothers and sisters. This happens 20 years after they threw their brother in the pit and sat over there on the side and had a picnic lunch and didn't care what happened to him. Well, they bring some powerful things up. They say in chapter 50, verse 15, well, Dad's dead. I wonder, verse 15, is he going to bear a grudge against us? Well, we did terrible things to him. Is he going to bear a grudge against us and pay us back in full? Notice, for all the wrong which we've done to him. They admit it. Verse 17, they bring word from their dead father to Joseph. Please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. The only thing that breaks family hatred is family forgiveness. And until someone in the family is Christ-like enough to say, enough with this, I'm forgiving you, even when they really, truly have done you wrong. Even when your parents have done you wrong, you haven't spoken to them in many years, or if you do, you're very surface, you're offended and you will not talk to them, you hate them for what they've done to you. The only thing that breaks family hatred is family forgiveness. And we are those who talk about the grace of God and the gospel. The grace of God begins in our relationships with our family, even if they don't walk with God. It's quite interesting that sometimes people will say, well, I don't know what to do with this child. They won't live for God. Yes, we've seen it all the way through the book of Genesis. The sins of the children. So your relationship with your children or your grandchildren is based on whether they walk with God? Aren't you glad somebody cared about you when you didn't walk with God? They loved you. They were patient with you. They were kind to you. They were tender-hearted to you. What changed you? Why is your standard so different? Well, this one, boy, this child is starting to walk with God. These others are just acting like wild hellions. Okay, love them all. The only thing that breaks family hatred, you want to break the cycle? Hey, you want to have revival? You want to get out of the pain of hatred in your life? How about this? Forgive. Forgive. Let it go. It's done. It's over. They did you wrong. The only thing you can do is forgive. You see, believers see God at work in their family, good or evil. Paul picks up, I'm convinced, of this very phrase. You see, Joseph learned a lesson about how God works in the lives of those who love him. And Paul expands on this very verse. I really do believe that Genesis 50 verse 20 and Romans 8, 28 are connected. All things work together for good to those who love God. Oh, Pastor Mike, you don't know what all happened in my family. No, I don't, but God does. So what are you going to do about it? You going to carry that the rest of your life? Go to every prayer meeting you can go to and tell everybody how bad it was in your life? Tell how sorry you were treated? Or are you going to forgive and forget it? Move on and walk with God. You see, family favoritism. Here's what we remember as we go. Family favoritism produces regret and broken family relationships. I wonder, though it's not written in the Word of God, I wonder how much pain was in the mind of Jacob when he got over here and realized why Joseph is alive and he got the whole story. And he probably said to himself, I am the one who caused all this. You have those preschoolers under your feet one day. If Jesus hasn't come, they'll be 20 years old. Don't you blink. It's going to happen fast. And you're going to look back and say, did I do some things I shouldn't have done in order to strain my relationships with my children so I don't have the opportunity to influence them for the gospel? Be careful what you do every day as a parent. You see, showing family favoritism, I'm hammering this for parents, this is a sin. This is a sin. It's a great sin. James 2:9 says, if you show partiality, you're committing sin. The Word of God is pointing out to us here from all of this. I read to you from Genesis 37, flip your pages to 50, 20 years because of the sin of parental patriotism and partiality, I'm saying. Partiality, that's it. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Proverbs 18:19. When a brother or sister's been done wrong, it's hard to win them back. Whether you ever win them back or not, forgive them. Forgive your parents for their favoritism. Just don't do what they did. Forgive them. Forgive your parents of their shortcomings. Forgive your parents when, you know, have you ever been at the table, you who have grown children, and you're sitting there and you're eating macaroni and whatever, your chicken, and one of your kids starts telling a story about the past, and you look at your wife or husband, you think, that didn't even happen. They made that up. But then you realize after you get the macaroni out of your mouth, that's their view of what happened. That's their reality. Then if you think a little more, you think, well, how do I now approach my grown son or daughter to make sure we have good relationships? Parenting isn't just do what I say, this is the line, these are the boundaries, and buddy, you better line up. It is that you walk before them graciously. They see you forgive family members who have done you and the family wrong. They see it. They see grace in their parents. They see grace in their grandparents. They see you being Jesus to those who have greatly hurt you. You see, we're taught in the Word of God that gospel practice is this. You know, Joseph practiced the disciples' rule before it had ever been spoken by the Lord Jesus. You know what the disciples' rule is? You do know, surely. The disciples' rule is do to others as you would want them to do to you. Now, what would you want your brothers and sisters that you're in strained relationships to do? What would you want your children to do? How would you want them to treat you? Then treat them the same way. It's the disciples' rule. And the other thing is this. If you pray it like I do every day, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven those who are our debtors. You say, well, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, I'm not talking about church, I'm talking about your brothers and sisters. They owe me. Yes, they owe you. They can't pay you. Debt's too great. You have to forgive them. I have a motto for you. I have a verse for you. Perhaps it should hang in your house when it comes to family relationships. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. And be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also been kind to you and forgiven you. To the praise of the glory of His grace, the Lord Jesus is near to the door. We pray, come, Lord Jesus.